welcome to our first AAP Coordinators podcast. My name is Cindy Volak, and I'm the Program Manager for Residency and Fellowships at New York Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. I'm also the Chair-Elect for the AAP Coordinators Executive Council. Today, our topic is social media, and I'm joined by Sarah Brown from the PM&R Department at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Sarah is a GME manager. She has her master's degree in English, and she's been with the PM&R Department since October of 2016. So welcome, Sarah. I'm so excited to be part of this first coordinator podcast, and I hope you are too. But before we begin, Sarah, I just have to admit that I am a technology immigrant. So much of the social media skills do not really come naturally or easily for me. And I'm also totally envious of your social media program. You've done some amazing work out there in Pittsburgh. So I'm really eager to talk to you, to learn, and to really to find out about how you're making this all happen. So let's dive right in and talk about social media and tell us, why is this so important now?
First off, thank you, Cindy, so much for having me. It's so exciting that the AAP is starting this new coordinator arm of their podcast. So very excited to be part of the first episode. I think that social media has really been so important for medical student connection for quite a while now, especially since I have been with the program in 2016. But I think it's so important right now because we don't have that opportunity to meet many of our med students in person. When the pandemic started to become, you know, quite serious and very real for our programs in the middle of March, we still had so many visiting students that had sent in applications. And we were sort of crossing our fingers and hoping that, you know, maybe eventually by the fall, we would be able to engage with them and maybe have some, you know, late fall, early winter rotations. And then our School of Medicine came out and said that there was going to be no residents going out and no med students coming in for the entire academic year. And so with that, in combination with the message from the AAMC about halting all rotations, we realized that the most personal and important way that we are going to connect with these med students was with rotation information.
Right, right. We're all really missing those rotations, and it is really important for the medical students. So tell us a little bit more about, aside from medical students, like who is using social media and like who is the audience that we should be targeting?
Sure. So when we looked at some information from Koros, which Koros is a multi-city brand management social media group, we saw that 86% of people ages 18 to 29 are using Facebook, and 67% of people ages 18 to 29 are using Instagram. And that 18 to 29 range is really primarily what we are looking at for the majority of our med students. So that became a really important statistic to us. And then we also saw that 38% of people 18 to 29 are using Twitter. And then the one fact that came through that was really surprising to me is that 71% of people ages 26 to 35 are using YouTube, which I guess from just a personal standpoint, I don't really engage with YouTube that much. So when we saw that, we knew that we had this opportunity to use that platform maybe in a little bit different way than we had anticipated when it came to medical student engagement.
Right. That's interesting that YouTube is as popular as it is. Everybody's just been turning to YouTube to learn how to do anything. So what would you say are the platforms that are ideal for medical education?
Sure. So Koros also put out a really kind of handy chart when it came to different types of businesses and the social media that would best serve their interests. So when we look at healthcare, their recommendation was Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter, with a strong recommendation for content strategies in Instagram and YouTube. And that just means that if you are planning on using Instagram or YouTube, to have intentional or deliberate posting schedule or idea of what your content's going to look like. And then they had also mentioned as well that the best outreach for millennials, which now that we're looking at many med students that are being born in the late 80s and early 90s would be considered millennials, that Facebook and Instagram is really where they're doing most of their engagement right now when it comes to learning about different programs.
And what platforms is your program using? And is there a certain reason why you chose specific platforms?
So when it comes to social media, besides our department website, we do have four main platforms that we're using. So I would say the two main that we use are Facebook and Instagram. And because of their merger, they integrate pretty seamlessly, meaning if you put something on Instagram, you can then automatically post it to Facebook and vice versa. And we really use Facebook and Instagram for sort of what we would call maybe those wellness or slice of life posts. So those would be things like wellness posts, photos of our residents, those kind of get to know you posts. And what we really like about Instagram is that they have these great free features that we can use to amp up our posts, such as the Instagram stories or the Instagram reels. The third platform that we use is Twitter. And Twitter we kind of use in a different way because of the limited character count. So Twitter we primarily use for things like department news, awards, information on research and research grants, and then academic accolades. And so with that limited character count, what we tend to do is we'll put up some information in a picture about that research or, like I said, those academic accolades, and then we'll direct it with a link to another website or another post where there might be a larger story. And then the fourth platform that we did just start using, which after looking at that research, is YouTube. Like I said, in my personal life, I only really use YouTube in a limited capacity. So we had to get very strategic about how we wanted to use YouTube. And here at the University of Pittsburgh, what we use YouTube for is with our own channel, we house our larger projects, such as our recruitment videos, department interviews, and then also didactic sessions and didactic recordings. We have found that a lot of recruits are interested in seeing what type of didactics programming we have. And so it's really a good place to house those larger things that you want to showcase in your department.
So do you post all of your didactics?
So far we've been very strategic about it from a time and organizational standpoint. So for instance, right now we are in the middle of our spinal cord and pediatric rehab fellowship interviews. So with our didactics programming right now is our spinal cord information. So we've been posting some strategic and important spinal cord recordings that we find are really helpful and came out really well. And then that gives recruits a chance to look those over and see what our programming is.
Right. So there are four main platforms that you're using, and that sounds like a lot of work. And I know that you're not doing it alone. So can you talk a little bit about how your social media team has evolved? Like, who are the people that are involved in this, and what are, like, some of the daily or the weekly things that need to get done?
What I kind of have said a few times in a few different iterations is that when it comes to posting in social media, I don't really think our department has reinvented the wheel or is doing anything groundbreaking. But one thing that we did do is look at our social media in a different light and change our habits. And so we now really see social media as a weekly habit or something that has to be very consistent and part of our vocational roles as opposed to just a post here or there when we have the time. And so the way our social media team came about is we actually have a really unique feature in our department, which is a communications committee. And that communications committee has been here since before I joined the department. And what they really focused on was looking at communication with patients and our UPMC website and how patients were able to get information about follow-up after discharge or things like scheduling an appointment. And so one small facet of that communications committee was always going over the social media. And up until this year, it was always a very quick and small sort of report about maybe an update to the website or something on Facebook, or someone may have an idea. And then once we realized that this was going to be our main way of connecting with med students, we realized that we needed to have a more concerted and intentional effort with our social media. And so from that communications committee, the social media committee was born. And so the way that we sort of safeguard or have a few checks and balances within our social media team is, of course, we have faculty sponsors. So one is our program director and then another faculty member. And then we have admin support under that, which is myself and another department manager, Stacey Sneed Peterson. And then under that, we have five residents that all do sort of different things within the social media. So we have one resident that's overseeing a little bit of everything and making sure that everyone is communicating not only with each other, but also with our faculty and with our admin. We have one resident who is working on Instagram and Twitter, another who works on a wellness newsletter, which even though that is interdepartmental, is going to be very important to get out to recruits so they can see some of our wellness initiatives. And then we also have our academic chief who is in charge of didactics programming, who is managing our YouTube channel. That was a very natural and kind of organic next step for her, since she was already recording our Microsoft Teams and Zoom meetings. So we have a few different checks and balances that allow us to all communicate on a weekly basis about different ideas and have a few different sets of eyes and different perspectives looking at our postings.
That really sounds like a team effort for sure. And it also sounds like you really have the support right from the top. Tell us again, who exactly is on your social media team?
Yeah, I think it's really important that from the top down that we're all really excited about recruitment and that we are able to find these five residents. They're so excited about finding quality recruits and making sure that our program remains successful after they graduate. And so the social media team is our program director, another faculty member, our two department managers, and then five residents. And once we developed this social media team, we were touching base about once every 2 weeks. And now as we look to get into residency interviews, I think that that will probably become a weekly meeting. Like I had mentioned before, nothing that we're doing, I would say, is really groundbreaking or different, but it was really just a change in attitude towards social media and seeing this as something that needs to be consistent and kind of deliberate and quality content for our recruits.
Right. It sounds like you definitely have buy-in from everyone in your department, but can you address, I know like one of the barriers for us has really been more on the institutional level. So can you address any institutional barriers that you may have encountered? I mean, I know our hospital has very stringent social media policies, and that has sort of limited our ability to really, you know, fully utilize all of the platforms. Have you had any issues with that?
So we haven't had any main issues, but I think that that's a really important question and a good question to address, because every program and every hospital system is so different. And so here with ours, many of our faculty and within our residency program have a dual appointment, and that's between UPMC, our hospital system, and then the University of Pittsburgh and the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And so we were able to do our social media and get our social media going through the University of Pittsburgh Avenue. And So I understand that lots of programs are based just within hospital systems. So I think it's really important that if you're looking to ramp up or even just begin to include social media within your recruitment, that you talk to your chair, or for instance, we have some outside marketing people that work directly with our department for some larger scale stuff. So talking with them, see what the process is and what you need to do to get approval, because certainly no program wants to start a social media campaign and then have to kind of stop it midway or, you know, go dead air with that, or even worse, get in trouble with legal or with your GME department within your system.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Give us an example of, like, what are some of the posts that your residents have done?
Sure. One thing that I think is a really good idea is we do have a posting schedule within our social media committee, and it's certainly nothing fancy. It's a Google Drive doc where we have the calendar of the month, and we all fill in or we talk about what we're going to be posting either on a daily or weekly basis. And it gives some accountability to the team, and also is kind of a way for us to divvy up and organize who's going to be posting when. And so some of the posts and event ideas that we have had is one thing that we have done is an Instagram takeover. Like I mentioned before, Instagram is really great because they have these free tools that can really amp up your posts or give a different dimension to your posting. And so we have a resident do an Instagram takeover where they have our Instagram grid or the stories for the day. And then that resident will post every 1 to 2 hours. So it might start at 6 a.m. showing their commute to the hospital and then what it looks like to round and then maybe eat, you know, socially distanced eat with their residents or fellows. And then that way med students get a sense of the full day. And so what we've been trying to do is vary the different rotations. So someone might do it on that spinal cord inpatient, and then the next month or next week it might be peds and then sports. And so that's a quick way for med students to be able to look at what a day from beginning to end looks like in those different rotations. Another thing that we've been doing is residency or faculty highlight. And so the residency and faculty highlight is where we take each class. We started with our PGY4 graduating class, and every 1 to 3 days we'll post one of our residents and highlight them. So we'll have 5 or 6 photos of them. So we'll show personal photos, some professional photos, and we'll go through not only their personal interests, but their professional interests and maybe some of their research that they've been working on. So right now we have worked all the way up to our PGY2 class, and then we'll do our interns as well, and then move on to some faculty. So that's a great way for every 1 to 3 days to have a consistent post that sort of maintains a theme. Another thing that we've been doing is what we might call some theme posts. So for instance, our leadership within our department is very woman-centric. We are, of course, very diverse and inclusive, but we have a lot of great women leaders in our department. And so we have something like a Women in Medicine Wednesday where we'd be able to highlight a female faculty member. Then we also have a Throwback Thursday or Flashback Friday, which if you're on Instagram, you know, you might have seen that in other capacities. And so what we might use that for is to show events, what we might say pre-COVID, that happened last year that we didn't get to have this year. So things like faculty picnics, or we go to a baseball game every year at the beginning of our orientation season. So showing some of those past events that we hope that we'll be able to do next year. And then another thing that we might do is a Music and Art Monday, where we like to highlight some of the artistic side of our department. I think one really cool thing is being able to highlight or showcase the different talents that people have outside of work. That might be a resident or a fellow or a faculty member singing or playing the piano, dancing, showcasing some of their art, things like that. And then one event idea that we just had that we actually had a lot of success with was a virtual interest open house. So we had med students sign up on a Google Drive document and put down 2 to 3 of their interests. And then what they did was they joined us on Zoom for a virtual open house. And we had different breakout rooms, and some of them might have been mountain biking or cooking or family oriented. And then what those med students did is they were able to go and jump from room to room and meet residents and fellows in our department that share those similar interests. So it was a chance to network in kind of a low pressure, low stakes environment, and get to know that side of our department that you might get if you were with us in person on an interview day.
Mm, you've really mentioned some great ideas there, showing a day in the life of a resident and doing some theme posts, the women in medicine. Those are all really great ideas. And I know most of us are really missing the live events. So it's great to have a sort of a way to also show, you know, things that have happened in the past, too. Maybe not happening now, but they've happened in the past. So what do you think that medical students really want to see on your social media?
Sure. I think that's a really good question and an important question. So I had the opportunity, because I also coordinate a lot of our school of medicine functions and rotations, I got permission from our school of medicine to send out a short little Survey Monkey to year 3 and year 4 students from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And so when that Survey Monkey came back, what they did tell us that they really want to see on different department social media platforms is, number one, they want to see facilities and amenities, which I was kind of surprised by that. And then I really kind of took stock and thought about that. And so when we think about things like our cafeteria or our student workroom or what our admin offices look like, we might not think much of it because that's something that we see every day or is something that we don't really see as a benefit. But when I looked at it through the lens of a student who may have never been to our city or our department and has to sort of create this idea and this narrative about what it would be like to train at your program, we started to realize that just showing off those workrooms and those basic spaces and those different things that students have to engage with, that was going to become a really important part for them to build this idea of what it would be like to be with your program. Some other things that they had mentioned were, of course, a day in the life. And so that's sort of where that Instagram takeover comes in. So, of course, you know, you can wow them with the research and all of these different things that your department is doing, but they want to know, what's it going to be like from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day? What does that kind of look like? So that Instagram story takeover is a great way to showcase that. Some other things that they had mentioned are what type of pandemic support that we are giving residents right now, and especially from a wellness perspective. So every 2 to 3 days, we try to showcase some type of wellness aspect that has happened. So that might be a socially distanced 5K, or for instance, we just had a fall retreat and we had our residents split up into groups of 5 and they were in different parts of the city. And then they went and they did axe throwing as a sort of bonding after retreat type of decompression activity. So we like to showcase those type of things. And then of course, you know, what other type of pandemic support are we providing? So is that having half of our residents working from home and then some in inpatient and then switching, or how are we being organized during this time? And then the final two things that they had mentioned are sense of community. So things like group projects and get-togethers, which of course right now get-togethers, we have to be very smart about that, but we do try to showcase that we are trying to have that department connection, but just in a very safe and responsible way. And then of course, the last thing, which is really important, is things like research projects and didactics offerings. So despite everything that's happening, they do want to know the nuts and bolts. And, you know, when things do return to semi-normal, what can we provide them in an academic sense?
Sarah, you know, given all that's happened this year with the pandemic and racial injustice and all of the events, do you think that there's a different tone to social media recruitment this year?
I do think that there is. So I think that maybe the automatic or knee-jerk response would be, because we can't meet a lot of these students in person, that we really want to amp up as much as possible and really go for the gusto and send, you know, the nice swag, send our pens and our hand sanitizer and our t-shirts and all these wonderful things, and really showcase that, you know, we think that we're number one and you should come train with us. But what we try to remember and what our department talked about is the fact that this pandemic has hit each department in a very personal and very different way. So whereas it may have been difficult or an inconvenience for some departments, it may have been a totally different emotional thing for other departments. You know, some departments, you know, in New York City or larger cities, they may have lost colleagues or had colleagues that were hospitalized, or some of their budget that used to go to swag and, you know, conferences and all this wonderful extra stuff may have had to be reallocated to some more practical things needed to fight this pandemic. And so we had a discussion that was started because our program director spoke to some other program directors within PMR, and they all decided that because we all had had such wildly different experiences and this was tough on all of us, that we really needed to kind of dial it back when it came to sending out things and really going for that competitive edge. And I think that it's really possible this year for each department to have a sense of pride and be able to showcase their department, but also acknowledge that PMR, while growing, is still this kind of niche group and this small group. And what's most important right now is the collegial atmosphere and the fact that we all really do need to rely on each other right now. And I think our social media is a way that we can show off that tone.
Wow, that's so true. And I know so many of the hospitals here in New York City have been hit really hard, and we're all feeling the budget crunches, and definitely this is all affecting our recruitment season. But Sarah, you have given us some really great ideas. I'm very excited to take these back to our program and implement them. Any last thoughts?
Like I said, I think when it comes to your social media, the way that it's going to be consistent and seen as a fun thing or a genuine thing for each department is to look at what your strengths are and what you want to highlight. Every program is going to be different and everyone's going to have different strengths. And so don't feel like you need to reinvent the wheel or do anything that would cost a lot of money or a lot of time. Instagram and Facebook and all these other wonderful tools have this way to engage. And so I think the most important thing is to be genuine with your program and to show off your highlights, and then also be very consistent with your communication. A lot of these med students have never been to your city, have never been to your program before. And so if you are taking the time and effort to showcase your program, then you also have to be consistent to take the time and effort to answer their questions. So really account for that follow-up with med students and make sure that your communication with them is as consistent and as thoughtful as your posting is.
Great. Well, thank you, Sarah. This has been really insightful. I want to thank you for joining us. And I also just want to thank the AAP for giving us this opportunity. And we hope we'll have more coordinator podcasts in the future. Thank you.
Sure, Cindy. Thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun.